than what we're seeing now, that our voices are making a difference and making it more difficult for them and in the administration to undo all of the important consumer protections that we've fought so hard for.
We've been speaking with Jessica Gonzalez, Deputy Director and Senior Counsel at the group Free Press. You can find them online at freepress.net. Jessica Gonzalez, thank you so much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
Thank you, Janine. It was great to be here.
And that's it for Counterspin for this week. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. For more information about FAIR, you can check out our website, fair.org. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
What's up, everyone? Talking about practice, Jiro, Derek Isimaki, Jordan Booth in the building this evening.
Yo, what's cracking?
What's happening, everybody?
Appreciate y'all for having me.
So usually we have intro music, but
it's amateur hour right now.
We're having some technical issues, but anyway,
bring out the snakes.
Before we before we get into this, we want to shout out our sponsors. Talking About Practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Chico Paper Company, a family-owned cornerstone of downtown Chico for over 40 years, located at 4th and Broadway. Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery, showing the largest selection of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900 or on the web at chicopapercompany.com. So thank you, Chico Paper Company. You know, it would be really cool as if this board would work, but no luck. So no intro music, we'll just get into it. I'm talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk show. We got a big show for you guys. We're going to get into NBA All-Star Weekend and how I idiotically lost $20 to Mr. Jordan Booth here.
Tell that.
I was going to say, if I had that same bet, I would have taken that one too, so.
Right?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. I gave you the field, so.
Easily.
Yeah, I mean.
You were smart to back down from $50 to $20,
though. 100%. I backpedaled real quick. Yeah. I was Deion Sanders on that backpedal. You called my bluff so bad. I didn't think anyone would take it. Derek has a foot and mouth. We'll talk some soccer. We want to talk about the Ball family. Who's the Ball family? They ball. We'll talk about them. But first, as you all know, most of you probably know by now, Boogie, DeMarcus Cousins.
Boogie!
He has been traded from the Sacramento Kings to the Pelicans. A lot of talking points to get into on this one.
Heist.
And yeah, okay, let's start there. Jordan?
The word of the day is heist, ladies and gentlemen. DeMarcus Cousins, the best center in the NBA by far at this point, to me has been the best center in the league the last year and a half, traded for a rookie, eighth round pick in Buddy Hield, a couple veteran players, and a couple future picks.
You got Tyreek Evans back, man. Come on, let's go.
Tyreek Evans is a solid player, but he does not compare at all to DeMarcus Cousins. And I think that the Pelicans made a great deal. I don't think their team is shaped well right now, but they have some building points. So I think that the future looks bright for them.
Yeah.
It's an interesting trade for the Kings. I'm not quite sure what they're thinking. They definitely apparently didn't like Boogie, even though they kept saying they're going to keep him. I mean, this entire season, weren't they saying, like, you're good, Boogie, we're going to keep you. Boogie's expects interest staying in Sacramento. And like you've been saying, Jordan, he's arguably the best center in the league right now. Guy has phenomenal scoring ability, can rebound the ball with the best of them. Granted, he's got some, attitude issues. Well, he goes off, exactly. Especially the good ones, good ones always have a little crazy up there. They kind of have to be, I feel,
Yeah, definitely.
But Again, I don't know what the Kings were thinking. I'm actually one of the news I actually heard throughout the day was that there was one trade that the Lakers had with them initially. The Kings had made was for offering Ingram and Lou Williams,
and they choked that.
And they took on, and the Lakers didn't take that. And when I saw that, I was like, you wouldn't do that. Like Brandon Ingram, I like him, but like you said, you have a chance to get Boogie Cousins right now. Sure, he's got some issues. I think Luke Walton would work well with him. He kind of has a younger mind, and bam, you didn't do it. I was so mad at the Lakers for not doing that trade.
Yeah, they probably should have. I don't. Vlade Divac, here, let's hear from him.
Most likely we'll get less because I had a better deal 2 days ago.
So he's admitting to.
Than what you got now?
Yep.
And then you had a better offer for Cousins well, 2 days ago?
Talk to those agents. What they say.
So what.
I don't want to go in details. I don't want to discuss about the.
So he just admitted to choking.
The process. It was a big process for us.
It was a big, a lot of paperwork involved. We didn't want to get our hands too dirty. You know, we've been working hard.
I feel like as a GM, that's like complete and utter like your resignation letter. Well, I took a lesser offer. Yeah, I had a better one, but I turned that one down.
That just proves that he's a terrible GM.
Well, everything about the way the Kings have been run since the Maloofs had. When they were doing well, when their business was doing well, the Kings were doing pretty well, and then that kind of all fizzled out. There was some financial issues for the company, some issues within the family, if you read into that stuff. And so since Renadive, I think is the owner's name now, mm-hmm. came in, became the owner, it's been a disaster. I mean, they got the stadium built, which is great for that city, great for that franchise, but they don't...
I mean, depends on who you talk to. I've heard a lot of people say they don't like it either. Some people were happy where it was in Arco. A lot of people don't like bringing stadiums into the city because it congests things. And sure, it might be nice.
And the taxation.
Yeah.
No doubt. But what I'm saying is the
they were up and coming. They had something to build around now.
Yeah. You know? They at least have a shiny new stadium. I mean, it's going to be hard to compete. You're in Sacramento. You are in the least desirable place of all three, I would say, or of all four California-based teams. You're in the least desirable place for most players to come to. It's not LA. It's not the Bay Area. So they're always going to have trouble attracting free agents. But when you have a top 10 player in the league, like you said earlier, Jordan, the best center, I don't think that is arguable right now.
Not at all.
And you get Buddy Hield and a not even a lottery pick. It's lottery protected pick back with Tyreke Evans and get rid. It just doesn't make any sense to me. I mean,
at all.
What does make sense is I get it. They wanted to move Boogie. They felt that he was a problem. Just the way his personality was an issue. Obviously, with the text and all that kind of stuff, I'm sure he was a headache. But you know what? It's going to be. He's always going to be an emotional player. You got to build a team around him. They never really brought in any veterans that have any stripes to kind of rein him in. They never brought in a Paul Pierce type or even a Caron Butler, someone who's been there, you know. And they basically let Boogie run the show. And I mean, we've gone through year for year for the past 8 years on the show their draft picks. They haven't built anything. And so,
and they say they're going to build to the draft. Like that was his goal. I feel like, didn't he say that? That's why they got the draft picks. Like, oh yeah, we're going to start again, get rid of, you know, new character, and we're going to build to the draft.
I mean, sometimes
you did a terrible job of that.
They're stinkers, man. You know, Ben McLemore. I mean, the average player. You know, not a fourth overall pick,
right?
But I mean,
they pick like players that are like the players that don't translate well to the NBA. You know,
Jimmer Fredette.
Exactly.
I mean, there's a litany of people that they've drafted. And then when they do hit on draft picks, I mean, Isaiah Thomas was the steal of that draft, and they never knew how to use him.
Yeah.
And now he's a two-time All-Star. I mean, he's in talks for MVP candidate. It's not going to happen this year, but, you know, he's...
The guy's playing amazing.
I think Russ has that one sewed up, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
imagine if you did have that court right now, if the Kings did stick with it, you had Isaiah Thomas and Boogie Cousins together right now, like that'd be a pretty fun little matchup, I think, you know?
Yeah, if nothing else, they'd be competitive night in and night out.
Yeah, exactly. Like you'd, instead of being competing for the eighth spot, you'd probably be in like the sixth, seventh, you know, maybe going to the top four. Not to pushing it, but you're at least in the playoffs.
You're really only a piece or two away at that point, you would imagine, from being a real contender.
Yeah.
With those two guys on the same team, but The problem is the Kings just have not built anything. I mean, this is the same owner who once said that he wanted to play 5-on-4 basketball and cherry pick every play because he saw his eighth grade daughter's team do
that
it.
That was him, huh?
That was 100%
yeah, it. I remember that. That's a silly statement.
That's logic right there.
Yeah, they've gone through. I don't have the list in front of me, but I think DeMarcus is in his seventh year, and they've gone through six coaches or seven coaches, I believe, in his time there.
Remind me of the coach. I cannot think of the name that came out with all the news stories on the Nuggets, and I hated them. George Karlsson. Yes, I was going to say, you brought him in, and that was a complete disaster.
Snake in the grass.
But George Karlsson was a disaster. I mean, people who really follow hoops were yelling that from the beginning. You cannot bring this guy in. Him and Boogie will never get along.
Yeah.
George Karlsson was never known as a player's coach. You got to have a player's coach to kind of deal with a DeMarcus Cousins character. And man, I'm sorry to all the Kings fans out there because they just keep doing you guys wrong.
I'm indifferent about it. Like, I'd like to see them do well. And like I said, Boogie is as annoying as he can be, he's still a great talent and fun to watch out there. And he's an entertainment value for sure. And you'd like to see him do well. Again, why? The Kings are just, they're not patient, it seems like. And their impatience is causing them to just be terrible.
Yeah, I mean, they say they want to build through the draft, like you said earlier. And what track record do they have of building through the draft? I mean,
they have picks. They've made picks. They just didn't pan out.
Right. And I know the draft is an exact science, but yeah. I mean, if you just go through, if you run through the drafts, and again, I'm not going to do this on today's show because I've done it maybe three times already on this show. It's disastrous what they've done for the most part. And again, I guess I know it's not an exact science, but to miss on that many guys, and then when you do hit on someone like an Isaiah Thomas and to let him walk for essentially nothing back, it just makes you wonder what's going on. They hire Vlade Divac, who obviously is a fan favorite, but he has no GM experience.
Yeah, whatsoever. Just like somebody who runs our country.
Again, I'm just going to...
no doubt.
So we had, like you said, we're talking about those draft picks right now. I'm just going to go through just a few of them for the past few years right now. Like you said, we already mentioned the Ben McLemore was on there, but Willie Cauley-Stein. We had Thomas Robinson, Bismack Biyombo. He was a first-round pick for them in 2011.
And who's all right? He's not.
He's all right, but again,
he's a
Hassan Whiteside. He was a second-round pick for them.
Yeah,
that's a big
Tyreek Evans, Omar Caspi was a first-round pick for them.
Yep.
They picked Patrick Ewing Jr. in the second round.
Yep, I didn't even know he was a guy.
Exactly.
I didn't even know that was a person.
I know he had a son.
Yeah,
No idea. Like, I'm looking at these numbers, and none of these guys, they show the first and second round picks that they picked from the past. I'm looking at, you know, till 2009, 2008, and none of the guys are like guys that are still on the team.
And if you go and do an even more comprehensive breakdown, which we've done on the show before, what hurts isn't just the guys they picked. It's the guys that came that were picked right behind them. We're talking the Steph Currys of the world. We're talking the Jimmy Butlers of the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's time after time. What's the kid in Phoenix? Booker. I mean, these time after time after time, they keep missing. And so the way to rectify that is not to go and get more draft picks.
Try building another way, you know, like maybe get guys who've been in the league and who are solidified.
But you can't do that with the Sacramento as your basis, you know. Maybe them getting rid of Boogie is their chance at maybe really trying to build through the draft. Cause even though I feel like they have had the picks to build through the draft, they haven't necessarily been dedicated to that formula. You know, like the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're trusting the process, you know, like they're tanking.
Yep.
In order to get, you know what I'm saying, they got dude who made the HBO special. I don't even like him. I can't stand him.
Who? MD?
Ben Mackum. What's his name?
Ben Simmons?
Ben Simmons.
Oh, he's so... I can't stand him. But anyway, like I'm saying, like, I mean, he should be solid. You know what I'm saying? He's going to play at some point this year. You get him. You get another pick. You got Embiid. You know, potentially you could be a competitor in a couple of years.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The Lakers, same way. Are kind of building through the draft. So maybe this is their first real opportunity at saying, you know what? We're going to just completely scrap it. Take a couple veterans and, you know, be... pretty bad for a while and hopefully turn it around.
Well, but for Vladdy to come out and say we had a better deal a couple days ago.
They had a better deal a couple years ago.
Yeah, I don't. Why are you self-snitching? I mean, that is hustling backwards
just,
to the
fullest.
This is
what we got, man.
No one even asked you about the other deal. He's like, yeah, you know, it's just what we had. We had a better one, but it was a really long process, and we just, you know, we're tired.
We just gave in.
Yeah, I had to go smoke cigarettes outside. I didn't have time to sit there and sign all the paperwork. I mean, it's just, anyway, it's rough if you're a Kings fan right now. Hopefully they turn this thing around, and hopefully, I mean, you always can't, you know, they could get a couple picks. They can do the OKC thing. You never know. You know, they could tank and get, you know, 2, 3, 4 years in a row, make good draft picks. And, you know, they had that run of Jeff Green, KD, Russ, and then Harden. So it's possible.
Definitely can string a couple good picks together.
But you just, I think you want a lot more in return. If you're the Kings, then Buddy Hield, who hasn't been great this rookie season, he may be pretty good. But, I mean, Vlade Divac was saying he wants to build something similar to what the Warriors have. And he definitely ain't a Steph Curry. That dude ain't on the squad right now. They don't have any generational talent on that team. So, you know, it's going to be a rough go, but who knows? If they hit on a couple picks and they're just tired of Boogie's act, so be it. Man, but that's a tough – you know who I feel worst of all for in all of Sacramento is the Kings ticket sales staff right now. Because you got to call right now. You got to try and get people to sign up for season tickets. Prices of tickets just
Buddy Hield, y'all. Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
Plummeting.
Yeah. And trust the process. That slogan is already stolen. So maybe we could have some fun with that. Maybe throughout the show, we'll think of some names to call this rebuilding process.
But, the all process.
Take back sack.
Let's transition here. I still want to stay on this Boogie topic, but let's go the other way. Obviously, this, we, on paper, for sure, we have the best front court in the NBA. I don't even think that's really arguable. I haven't thought about it too much, but you have Anthony Davis, DeMarcus Cousins, who were teammates before at Kentucky.
I was like, can you actually name me the other three starters on that team?
Is Drew Holiday still there?
I think he is, yeah. There. Yeah.
Well, Evans is gone.
We're looking so bright right now, guys.
No, I can't. Can you?
The other starters on the Pelicans?
Yeah. Mm-mm. I was just playing against him in 2K, too.
Frazier.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Frazier, Drew Holiday.
Yeah, Tim Frazier, the point guard.
I mean, I'm looking at their squad right now, and again, no one really stands out other than you got your Anthony Davis. I see Omar Sheik.
Dang, they're big.
Dante Cunningham, Solomon Hill, Quincy Pondexter. Langston Hughes was actually shipped away, so he's gone.
Yeah.
And Etwan Moore.
Yeah, so they don't have much there, but still, I mean,
Boogie and Anthony Davis, that's fun.
Well, I think it's going to take them a while to figure it out. Obviously, you got to give them some time, but that's still a scary matchup for anyone in the West if they sneak into the playoffs, just because I don't know how you're going to really contend with that size. And both Boogie and Anthony Davis can go out on the perimeter, as we know now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both exceptional passers at that position.
And not to mention, I mean, you have Pelicans coach Alvin Gentry, who's a pretty good coach in his right mind. So he's definitely someone that's pretty good. And
as opposed to his insane mind.
I meant to say he's a good coach. You know, he's a good coach. He's been around. He's been on some good squads. He was on the bench. He was one of Steve Kerr's assistant coaches for a time. You know, so he coached the Memphis squad and took them to the playoffs many years in a row.
Just to acknowledge, being underneath Steve Kerr has no value to your coaching career, to me. Because Steve Kerr is not a coach, per se.
What do you mean?
Like, Steve Kerr was a player who was, you know, transformed into a coach. He didn't, you know, do years underneath, you know what I'm saying, somebody like on the bench, you know, as an assistant coach,
sure,
as a defensive coach, as a shooting coach, you know what I'm saying, like most coaches do.
Yeah.
So I don't think being underneath him is necessarily like being under, like, hey, like I was under the school of Popovich. I'm from the school of Thibodeau. I'm from the school, you know what I'm saying?
Honestly, it's not saying being school of Curry. You were still a coach on that Warriors team that had those great runs. That's all I'm saying. So, like, Steve Kerr, he's a great coach right now. He's building up a name for himself.
Mark Jackson's team, though.
He hasn't quite, you know, again, he's not the Popovich who's developed that, you know, career, that repertoire, mm-hmm, but he still was on that bench, you know, so I think it's still a valuable experience. And, I mean, again, he had his own team with Memphis for many years as well, so he's, it's not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to Kerr, I think, you know, you're right. It's not coming under the Popovich tree or the Phil Jackson tree. However, Kerr did play for both those guys, and I'm sure he picked up a lot along the way. But I just, I don't know. I find it curious because I don't think that this on New Orleans end, if Boogie doesn't re-sign there.
Does he have one more year there? He has one more year. Okay, yeah.
And, you know, that was a lot of the reason the Kings traded him, because he was just saying last week, during the All-Star break, that he was intended on signing an extension that would pay him somewhere.
Wasn't like $200 million?
Yeah, somewhere in the neighborhood of like $220 million or something for 5 years. Something crazy.
Damn, what you're saying, team will get you the most money.
Yeah. And they didn't want to pay him that, and they shipped him out. And I really don't blame the Kings for doing that. Now, the Pelicans, they have to do something. That team, you just named the guys on it, and we didn't even know half of them.
Yeah. You just gutted your team for this man. You have to keep him.
Yeah, they have to keep him. They have to build something around them. Jrue Holiday is a nice piece when he's healthy.
Yeah, that's a big mm-hmm. – he's been a problem in his career so far. But again, solid point guard. He can run the team, especially, and you need something like that to start off with. And again, he's really the only other piece that they have that seems somewhat valuable.
Yeah. They don't have a whole lot else. But I mean, you have those two guys down there. Maybe you can build around them, get some mid-level exceptions. Who knows? I do know that if they figure it out, it's going to be scary. It's going to be a tough out for anyone in the West. I don't think the Warriors would just walk over them now that they have.
People are saying right now that Pelicans team is a playoff team. Are you saying that's a playoff team? Would you say it's a playoff team?
Without looking at the standings, no, but I don't know what the standings are. I also know the Kings were hovering around a playoff spot, so yeah, the Pelicans, as awful as they started, I know that they played well, better since December-ish.
Okay, the Pelicans are currently in the 11th spot, and they're...
How many games back of the 8th?
They're 23-34. 8th seed is 25-31. So they have some chances too. There is a chance they actually get in there, but
they got a whole new team though.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. And
I want to make sure I was clear about the fact that I don't think they would beat the Warriors, or the Warriors should lose any sleep if they had a 1-8 matchup. I just think that it's going to be a tough out. It's not going to be.
I mean, it's more interesting than playing. The Pelicans without DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say DeMarcus Cousins, Pelicans.
Yeah, right. I would much rather see Golden State versus just as basketball fans, NOLA, than, say, Denver, who's currently in the 8th. Sacramento, you imagine, is going to fall way out of contention because they're only a game and a half back of the 8th.
Watch Buddy Hield just take off right now. He's the next Kobe.
That would be great. I mean, yeah. I would love if Sacramento was good. I mean, there are neighbors to the south. A lot of Kings fans in this area. My grandma's a Kings fan. I would love it if they were competitive. I would like to see 4 good games between them and the Warriors each year, but that's not going to happen for a while, we would all imagine. I think we could all agree to.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm not hanging my hat on that.
No. Well, moving on. You guys want to finish up on Boogie here? You guys got anything else?
I'm all Boogie now, man.
All right.
I'm happy for him, man.
Yeah.
Happy for him. He's been wanting out of that situation, but he always tried to stay professional.
You know, and he really did
not very well.
He tried though, man. He tried. You could tell he was trying.
You could tell he was trying.
And he needs to work on a lot of things, and if that's him trying, I feel.
Yeah, not for sure.
But you guys just be so sick of just losing all the time, year in, year out.
You're the only dude balling.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're going to have 50-point night. No one else is bringing it night in, night out. That's got to be pretty rough. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him. It is rough, though, because he was, for as much guff as he gets for his on-the-court antics, he was a huge fixture in that community. He does a ton of charity. And he hates the fact whenever he gets any press about it, because he doesn't think he should get press for things that he should be doing, is I think what he was quoted for. So that's a bit of a hit, because it really seemed that DeMarcus Cousins enjoyed living in the Sacramento area and was a fan favorite. But now he's gone. So, you know, the Kings, they have some rough years ahead of them, but we'll see. Moving on.
Mardi Gras looking nice this year.
Yeah, it is.
Looking real nice this year, y'all.
So,
Boogie out.
All-Star weekend happened this weekend. And
the brow with the MVP.
Yeah, 52 points in an All-Star game. Yeah.
They were just giving him the ball the entire time. I mean, it was...
That's fine.
We called the whole weekend as itself, I felt, was slightly lackluster.
Nothing. Talk about lackluster. Yeah. That dunk contest.
Woo! 20 hot ones.
So I put a challenge out that I thought... I put up $50 Derrick Jones would win the dunk contest.
And I promptly...
You promptly hopped all over that. And then, like I said, I ran back. I backpedaled as quickly as I could. And dropped that down to 20, gave you the field for 20. And Derrick Jones still had a very good chance and just blew it. The whole thing was pretty boring. The drone coming out to drop the ball was whack.
Super whack.
They cool. tried so cool hard to go on these crazy gimmicks.
Yeah.
It's like, but everything's been done.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we said this before. We mentioned it prior to this weekend. There are guys out there in the universe that do dunking, just dunking. That's all they ever do in their entire lives is just dunk. And they're actually really good at it. We should get a mixture of those guys in there with this dunk contest. Because, again, we're getting... I'd like to see our stars out there doing it. But, again, they're not really our stars to begin with. You know, Derrick Jones, who just signed like a 10-day contract with Phoenix or something.
That's true.
Yeah.
They signed him just to do the dunk
just contest. Really just to get in this dunk contest right now. And... he didn't even like really come out. Like I said, we have all these guys, Instagram dunkers. We've talked about them throughout this entire show for quite some time. They do some insane things like that would make people just go crazy, you know, and give them a bigger national stage.
I think half of the allure of the dunk contest, though, is like, you know, like in its prime, even though it'll never be at that point, it was the fact that it was Vince Carter,
you know,
who was a star, you know what I'm saying, who at the time was a top 15 player in the league. Just Air Canada, you know what I'm saying, just flying.
Right. And again, we haven't had a stars in the dunk contest for quite some time. We have like some up-and-coming rookies do it, and then they back out afterwards, like, oh, it's not for me anymore.
Yeah, Westbrook never did it. LeBron never did it.
Never. And I never understood, like, why wouldn't you want to? Like... Well, I don't know.
They don't put enough money up.
I wouldn't do it either. If I was rich, like if I was LeBron, or if I was like Westbrook, like people who are like guaranteed to like their next contract is going to be a $200 million contract, why would I do that?
I would say, you know, S and Giggles, man. I'm just saying, like, why not?
I mean, I'll do a commercial for
S and Giggles. Isn't that what Jordan did it for? He'll say, like, I want to take the crown because I was so competitive. I actually wanted to win that, you know? Like,
yeah,
that was his shtick.
It's a different time, though.
But think about what it can do. I mean, Zach LaVine, no one really knew who Aaron Gordon was before last year.
Barely. He was like a scratch on the surface then.
Yeah, think about what it's done for a star. I mean, he's done some commercials. Now, he doesn't have... you know, his own sneaker or anything, but it did something for his quote-unquote brand. It blew up who he was. A lot more people. I mean, my girlfriend knew who Aaron Gordon was because of the dunk contest, you know?
Yeah.
Zach LaVine is another guy. He doesn't get a whole lot of shine. He's a pretty good player, and I think he one day could potentially be scratching the surface and an all-star quality player.
Yeah.
But
man, shout outs to him. He was averaging like 18 before he tore that ACL.
Yeah, that was.
But
rough.
He did say he wasn't going to do the dunk contest before he got hurt, which I thought.
Yeah.
Was
oh, he
like,
said he wasn't going to do it.
Yeah, before he got hurt, he said he wasn't going to do it. He backed out, which I was like, really, man?
I mean, that's fair. He did it twice already, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's about all you can ask for.
Yeah,
I guess. I mean, you did like go to the point where you're doing like I'm just trying to pull stuff out of this arsenal I've never really done before. You could see that in that
and
last.
He gave us everything. Okay,
I mean, he did do a wait. Did you do between the legs from the free throw line or like? Almost
just about.
Line. Yeah.
Yeah, that was insanity. But yeah, I mean, he dropped. It was rough when he tore his ACL. But I mean, the point going back to the point about superstars no longer participating, it is. It takes no matter what. If you don't have a LeBron, a Russell, a top 10 guy in there, no matter how great it takes a contest like last year, where you just have insane dunks that you don't. You've never seen in a dunk contest before, and if we're not gonna put the superstars in, and if we're not gonna get an Aaron Gordon versus LaVine every year, then yeah, let's put these professional dunkers out there. That would be way more exciting, I think, for your average fan.
Because let's face it, I mean, for the most part, yeah, sure. Like I said, you're still gonna be watching it. There's still gonna be eyes on this contest, no matter what, what the name is. And if someone just puts on an insane dunk, it's just gonna get talked about. And people are gonna be like, "That was insane!" And great for that guy who just put that on there. You know, he got his thousands of followers up to hundreds of thousands of followers now. You know,
yeah. So. And I really want to see them do NBA guys versus street ballers. That would be awesome.
That would be like an actual liability issues.
Yeah, you know what would be great too is if they got rid of like the skills contest and did a 3-on-3 tournament. Something like that, half court, 3-on-3.
I think they should get rid of the dunk contest.
Game of 21.
I think that because they did that a little while after Vince Carter did it. There's a little hiatus from Vince Carter and then when Jay Rich was in the dunk contest where they just scrapped it for a few years.
I think that would build up some, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
some,
give us
some want for it.
Give us some time
replace it
to
with
miss
something.
It.
Yeah.
You know?
Should, like, in, like do like come up with all these other games and kind of alternate the All-Star weekend. Like have just like this is what we're doing this year. This is what we're doing that year. And yeah. Then, you know, yeah.
I think
like,
horse would be interesting.
Yeah. See something like that.
Knockout?
They've done that. They've done it
they've
before.
They've done horse though. Before.
They've
yeah.
done horse before.
But have like, you ever done a knockout before? Like, come on. Who would be funny to see like
it
knockout?
It was kind of part of that one competition that had the WNBA.
Oh, that's right. They did have. Yeah. 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 That's true. Yeah.
It was an element of it. It yeah. wasn't the whole game, but.
I don't know. I'm a fan of All-Star weekend. I like All-Star weekend.
I do too.
I didn't get
cool.
to peep it this year, really, though. I've seen all highlights. I missed the whole
I mean the game like even though it was a super high scoring game it just it wasn't even that great of a game like I was watching the first we were watching the first half and like there was some nice dunks that's what you're looking for you're looking yeah. for just like some crazy mm-hmm. things to be put on and half the time Russell Westbrook couldn't even slam the wall which was like slightly disheartening because it takes half the all
well,
the
my
fun.
Highlight was when Giannis bodied Ooh. Mr. Curry.
Oh yes yeah
I still haven't seen it I've heard about it
oh yeah yeah he caught it and he slammed on that man's head. And
I mean,
everybody.
He was like, Steph Curry's head was like at like Giannis's chest.
Yeah.
And
Steph
he was like,
head
jumping,
was like underneath the net.
Yeah.
And Giannis's head is above the rim.
Wait, did Curry jump?
Yes. Yeah. He jumped for a rebound.
This is like a real, like, he straight just
tip dunked yeah. off the rebound and slammed his body.
I haven't. Yeah.
Was that before or after that Steph Curry laid down on the ground when he did that windmill?
I'm thinking it was after, but I'm pretty sure it was before.
I was gonna say I thought it, I can't tell you exactly, but it was
the next time he did lay down though.
Yeah, Giannis got on a break and he just laid on the ground. It was yeah.
Great. Yeah, I have not seen this. Oh, we have pictures. This isn't even a video. Great. All right, moving on. This is FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. Listener supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I know some of you are making your way over to the ALO show at the Big Room. We will be broadcasting live after the show at 7:30, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Derek, you have an underwriting and some news for
I
us.
I do,
you know?
Yeah, a little underwriting right now because we'd like to thank the people that keep this happening. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner of California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festivals and events, including Arttoberfest, Chico Paleo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. Right on, Friends of the Art. Thank you. And like I said, we do have some news right now, the good old headlines, what's out there. For those of you who are following Jose Canseco's Twitter feed, you will find out that he believes that robots are taking over the world and we need to wake up to the real robot threat that is out there. Jose Canseco, still believing that
Accurate.
Robots are taking our jobs,
Accurate.
Which is true.
Yep.
Victor Cruz met with the Panthers today. No news on whether he signed or not, but good on Victor Cruz, who's still trying to find a home after the Giants cut him.
After that party boat fiasco.
Oh, man.
Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
Good old party boat.
Good old party boat. Good old yeah. party yacht.
Spring training is starting up right now for all you baseball fans, meaning that baseball is around the corner, but it is still a ways away from actually being interesting. So, Jimmy Fredette, we talked about him earlier in the show, scored actually 73 points in the Chinese basketball game. So
ahead,
dreams do come true for Jimmy right now. However, the Shanghai Sharks, the team that he plays for, lost in that double OT game.
Oh.
Yeah, so 73 points wasn't enough for the win. It was, however, the fourth highest point in Chinese Basketball Association. News for you Giants fans, you'll like to know that Madison Bumgarner posts an impressive stat. He hits more home runs at a greater rate than he gives up home runs.
That is awesome.
Which I found that, and I was like, man, as much as I don't like the guy, I got to respect him for just being a straight badass.
That
he really
is. Insane.
The way he swings is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, dude's a lumberjack.
I was just like, guy's throwing an axe or two in his day, for
like,
sure.
God.
He's chopped down a free cheese.
I was sitting in my room, and I was like, that's the pitcher? I thought that was the catcher.
Guys hitting grand slams and whatnot. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So Mad Bum, good on you.
Dude has an F-150 commercial, bruh.
he likes those rainouts, guys. He likes the rainouts.
Dude has an F-150 commercial, bruh.
I've always wondered, like, I know we have a certain approach for advertising, but, like, do you really go into there, oh, Mad Bum's got that truck. I'm getting it. Like, is that, I don't know.
I guarantee there's people out there that.
Man fans.
Yeah, 100%. Do you know sports fans?
I know them, but like
we're pretty moderate.
I feel like, I guess that is true. We are.
Like,
I don't.
There's grown men that buy jerseys. Will buy the new jerseys. Still buy. You know, I just saw like a 45-year-old dude with fresh Kyries yesterday, and I found that to be hilarious / kind of cool. Because at that age, like you know,
you gotta stay fresh, man.
Yeah,
you
no doubt.
Stay fresh, guys. I'm wearing all old. Dude, I'm wearing British Knights when I'm turf 40. I'm throwing it back. I'm wearing Ewings with pumps, Starberries. I'm wearing all throwbacks.
Okay. Angelina Jolie this past weekend was doing an interview with the BBC, and she showed you how to eat tarantulas, scorpions, and beetles, cooking them live on air and actually eating them. So good on you, Tomb Raider. You're actually, you know, eating what the world has to provide for you.
Tomb Raider.
And finally, right now in the news, Lego Batman. It's actually a pretty good movie, apparently, because it beat out The Great Wall, which looks like an awesome movie.
The Great Wall looks like a good movie.
I'm probably going to go tomorrow when it's half off over at the movie.
You know what makes The Great Wall terrible to me? Because there's no Asian people in it.
Yeah, like, Matt Damon's like the
hero.
They're guys from the West coming to the East in this exotic tale, you know.
But it's like, it was
and
like.
They don't even have a ponytail.
But it's like Tom Cruise being the last samurai, you know what I'm saying? Like
again, from the West to the East, we have to have a West protagonist.
Lame.
Just, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of whack.
No doubt, but still, looks so good.
I want to see Get Out. That movie.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I really want to see that.
Yeah.
That's not out yet, though, right?
No, it's not.
I think it's still another week. I'm going to take my girl to see that.
Yeah.
And my girl is white. Get out.
That comes out. That comes out Friday. Right?
Huh?
That comes out Friday. Thursday. Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Friday.
Thursday.
Well, if y'all want to catch me, I will be at the Tinseltown Tuesday at the, it's on Tuesday. It's
half off Tuesday.
I will be there early. You know, saying catch your boy with the popcorn and the Slurpee in the back. I'm be out there balling.
No one's been telling you to get out.
Yeah.
All right. So
that was the news right there, guys.
Appreciate it. Moving on. Let's I know we've been talking about All Star Weekend a little bit here, but wanted to discuss one more little mini drama that came out of it. The whole Russell Westbrook KD saga continues.
Talking about
every time they were on the court or in the same area, I saw an update on Instagram or ESPN sent me something to let me know they walked past each other, but they didn't look at each other this time. Or they walked past and they didn't acknowledge each other, and it was this whole thing. KD, Harden, and Westbrook were on the floor in the first quarter, which was kind of cool. KD threw an alley-oop to Westbrook, and then you kind of saw the bench erupted when they both went over to the bench afterwards. Look, these guys play together for long enough. I know Russ feels like KD's a sucker right now, and he has all the right in the world to feel that way, but I feel like they're going to figure
like
it out.
He's a sucker.
Hey, man.
He is a sucker.
All right, we can get
Jordan feels that way too. Jordan feels that way.
If I was him, I would feel that way. I mean, as me, I have no opinion, but as him, he's a suck.
I have no opinion, but he's a suck.
Yeah.
But look, they're gonna get over this. They play together long enough. They're gonna be just fine. I do find the male soap opera aspect of all this fun.
I mean, I love how ESPN just perpetuates it so much. They love this, man. They're like, oh. Man,
yeah, they got time to fill, man. They got 24 hours they got to fill.
It with only one sport going?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's brutal. Yeah. I mean, look, as much as I'm not a fan of Stephen A. Smith's style or the Skip Bayless's of the world, the yellers, you know, and the debate culture, yo, they got to do something. You know, they can't just show highlights all day.
Yeah, I mean, for what they're talking about, people do follow them, and, like, you get responses. That's all they're looking for, really.
They're looking for viewers. They're looking for eyeballs. They're looking to sell ads. So, good on them. I found the whole thing kind of funny. I found it entertaining that we constantly had to, just get updates. Are they talking to each other? It was like, that breakup. When you show up, your boy just broke up with the girl. You guys all show up at the same party. And then, like, constantly it's like, oh.
What's she doing? Is she looking at me?
Yeah.
And then she just leaves with your homeboy.
Yep. Who happens to have a nicer car and a better job and went to the better school.
Just a better situation.
Yeah.
That's the guy was the guy she tells you not to worry about.
Yeah. Anyway, so you want to do your foot and mouth?
Yeah,
or
sure.
You want to get into some of the comments from this annoying Ball family?
Oh, so let's do the Ball family right now.
Okay, yeah. So for those of you guys who don't know, Lonzo Ball is the oldest. He's a freshman at UCLA. He's going to be a one-and-done lottery pick for sure this coming year. We also have LiAngelo Ball, who is a junior, I want to say, at Chino Hills.
I think he's a senior. I think he'll be graduating this year. I think he'll be going to UCLA next year.
Okay, and
I
this think, is all think, in your I'm, neck
I could
of the
be
woods,
mistaken,
right?
Though. Yeah, I could be mistaken.
Chino Hills is in your neck of the woods, right?
Chino Hills is in the Inland Empire. Shout out to the IE. San Bernardino, the 909 stand-up baby.
There you go. And then LaMelo Ball is the youngest.
Yeah.
And he put up 92 points in a game where there was... He decided he wasn't going to play any defense. 92 is 92, but
no need.
Man, that boy did not even bother getting back on D. But that's okay, whatever. What we wanted to talk about was their father. I find their father to be incredibly obnoxious. From the little I've seen of him, he makes himself very visible at every UCLA game. He acts as...
That's his boy out there, man, you know?
No doubt, but...
No, I hate those people, too.
He is that dad, you know, that overzealous, I'm going to push my kids to all play this sport and ball. And they're all balling, you know, they're all going to he said they're all going to be one and dones. But what I wanted to talk about was just coming out and saying that Lonzo Ball is already better than Steph Curry. And if you put him on the Warriors right now, what would be the difference? And I just want to tell him, stop talking, man. It's not necessary. It's just... What are you trying to prove? I don't understand what's to be gained. He's out here pumping his kid. People know his kid's great. This dad's annoying, and that's really all I wanted to say about it.
It's always annoying when, like, your parents or you have a kid and you're too too much about him. Like, I get it. It's your kid, and you're kind of biased in your view of your kid. Like, no matter what, I can't ever take your opinion that seriously when you're talking about your child because you're always going to be, you know, painting a bigger, better picture than it always usually is. So he's going way too far right now, you know? And it's just like, this guy, he's nice. Let him stay nice right now. Let him actually build up a name and actually get into the NBA first. Granted, I know he's going to be, granted, barring some injury, but...
That man is laying a foundation. Sir.
No doubt.
He got his son, you know what I'm saying, who was going to be a top five pick. You're going to use that as leverage, you know, for your other sons... And then to build, you know what I'm saying, he might start an academy. He might start, you know what I'm saying, something because his name is known now.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, he is as famous as his sons are.
Yeah, and there's no reason that he shouldn't, in my opinion, I don't think there's any reason that he shouldn't reap some financial benefit from the celebrity that he's gained for himself and his family.
Mm-hmm.
We just saw Jim Harbaugh just hired, you know, one of the top recruits' dads as an assistant coach. You know, I mean, I get it. Like, I just find
power
him,
moves.
Yeah, I don't. I have no
collusion.
Problem with.
Yeah.
I have no problem with any of that. I just find him personally really annoying. That's it.
Valid point.
I could get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he wants to make money off his kids, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just would like. I just know they're going to continue to put microphones in front of this man, so I'm just going to have to, you know, it's going to be part of my life if I continue watching sports for the next 10, 15 years.
As long as he is relevant, his kids are relevant, he will remain relevant.
Yep, good for him.
With a name like Ball, too, it's just like...
It goes, it's
yeah.
So perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to know if was like their real last name.
He's changed it.
Yeah, I could totally see him changing
honestly,
it.
Honestly, guys, we're pretty good, but you know what? Longsworth is not going to work. Longsworth is not going to work. I think we need to switch it up. Ball. We're all balls now.
Speaking of power moves, that is an ultimate power move. Switching your last name to Ball because you like hoop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or hoop if you like hoop.
Ooh.
Mm.
Isn't there a guy out there who was? Isn't there a Hooper? Isn't there like a guy who's
tight end
was
for the Falcons?
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, he's in the wrong sport.
Wrong sport. Okay.
All right, you got a foot and mouth.
I have a foot and mouth.
Let's
right
hear
now.
About some soccer.
For soccer, we actually have a couple stories I wanted to go over right now because we do have quite a bit of time we want to kill. For those of you today, because that's what soccer can do. For those of you today, we're actually able to catch. You saw Arsenal versus Sutton United today. And the reason why I bring this up is because these two teams couldn't be mere opposites of each other. Arsenal, we all know that name. Let's see, if you're a casual soccer fan, you've heard of the team Arsenal before. They've been in England's top-tier football for many years. Sutton United, on the other hand, is in the fifth tier of the soccer world in England. That's pretty much equivalent to a semi-pro team, baseball team here in America, playing against the Dodgers, the Giants, the Yankees, Boston, any one of those teams. Pick one of the top five teams in the MLB. That's what equivalent is to being what happened today. And it was a great little event because they played in Sutton. So Sutton was home. And the stadium itself seats a little over 5,000 people. When I say seats, they only have less than 800 of them actually get seats. The rest of them are standing room only. So it creates this awesome little environment where you see this high-level team in Arsenal playing on such a small little pitch against Sutton United. They ended up winning 2-0. I expected a lot more. Granted, they didn't bring out their star players. They kind of, not their B squad, but, you know, they had some of their guys in there, but not their entire A squad was on the field at that time. But it was just a great little moment in time for Sutton United to get put on the stage to play against Arsenal, a team that many of these guys, I'm sure they watch on a regular basis. These are guys that are fans of the game themselves and probably get a chance to see someone like Theo Walcott and think, oh my gosh, this is the best player I've ever played against right now. So great little moment for Sutton United. They got their name out there in the world of football. So that was today for the FA Cup in England. But this past week, I actually had a chance to watch some soccer with my boy Giroux. We saw some Champions League action.
Sure did.
And it was actually quite spectacular. We saw a thorough demolishing from PSG of Barcelona.
Yep.
4-0. It was awesome. You finally got to see how kind of crazy I get when it comes to soccer. And
go!
Oh, yeah. It happens on such a quick moment. One thing, nothing's happening. The next, someone's scoring an amazing goal, and you just kind of lose your mind out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
No doubt.
It was fun.
It is, and like I said, the reason why I bring it up is because the Champions League is continuing this week, starting again on Tuesday and Wednesday, roughly around 11:30 our time. It's going to be starting up. We've got some great games. We've got Man City is going to be playing this weekend. We've got Real Madrid. We've got Juventus playing. So good teams will be playing on the Champions League, and always great for a great environment for the game. So if you're maybe just a casual fan and want to pick something up and maybe trying out soccer, this is actually a good one to start off with because they're usually very competitive and there's a lot riding on the line. So foot and mouth right there, guys. Enjoyed it. That was a little elongated than usual.
I also like that it was in the middle of the day during the week.
Right, exactly.
It's
kind
of fun. So you could DVR it and come home and watch it.
Totally.
There's no hoop until Thursday, so I actually made DVR them just because I'll be desperate to watch competition because that's what I do.
College basketball is trash, by the way.
Man, college basketball is horrible.
Yeah.
It is so bad.
I can't, again, it only gets interesting when tournament starts.
Let's get into the conference champion or the conference tournaments, and then I'll start watching to kind of know who I want to fill out my bracket. But I forgot who was just saying it the other day, but it was an NBA player saying, oh, it was Kevin Durant was saying he doesn't watch college basketball because it's terrible. He was saying they call too many fouls, they slow the game down way too much, all this kind of stuff. And it is, I watched a little bit of the Kentucky Georgia game, and it was tough to get through, man. They do just call too many fouls. They need to speed up that shot clock. They need to do something because
aren't they on a 30-second shot clock now? Did that happen this year or was it last year?
I think it started last year, right?
Okay. I can't remember, but I know it's very recent. They just recently did that.
Yeah, they try to pick up the pace of the game, but still.
It's still too slow.
There's too many fouls called. They're going to the stripe like every other trip down the floor. The guys can rarely ever get into a rhythm, and, you know, there's
too many players foul out. Too many good players.
Too many good players foul out. And in addition to that, making them stay for the year, there's no continuity from season to season a lot of times.
Yeah, no, that's definitely makes kind of an issue, especially all that kind of one and done talk that everyone has a problem with. Because you never have it, you know, there's always a new team that you're always having to deal with, you know? So you can never really quite get, like I said, that continuity you want out there to kind of showcase it on the court.
Yeah, that's a reasonable point.
I mean, again, I think we take college basketball to a point, especially if you're a casual hoop fan, you think it's something, but for the most part, I think if you're real hoop fans, know, like, most people get to develop their skills like AAU and style right now, and then college is merely just like one little step for them to get into the NBA.
Yeah.
At least for the real players, you know? And so, like, we take college basketball as like, oh, man, it's something really serious. But for most of these guys, it's like, yo, I'm here for a year, but, like, I'm just – AAU is where it's at. That's where the competition was. That's where I developed myself. Now I'm on to bigger and better things.
Yep.
So you don't really get great competition in college anymore because no one really cares about it, I feel.
Yeah, I don't know that no one cares about it. I'm sure if you're on the squad, like
Kyrie, I mean, like, the players don't really care about it. Like, there's no guys like, man, I want to go to 4 years to my university. I want to win a championship
well, no,
with
them.
That's
not happening.
You know,
anymore.
No one cares. Like, the guys who actually would make the sport better if they cared about it. Like, I can care about college basketball all I want, but I'm not going to make it better because I'm not playing in it.
Well,
I
mean, I'm sure the guys that are on the squad, though, care. I mean, Kyrie didn't have to come and play in the tournament. He was injured all season, and he only ended up playing 8 games in a Duke uniform, but he came back. It didn't
but again,
his
draft but he went number one.
And again, but the thing is, he only played in 8 games, so it goes to show him college basketball was merely just a piece in his life that he didn't really give that much care about. Sure, he came back for it because he's in the moment and sure, it's nice. But if he really loved it, he would have come back for another year and actually had a full year of basketball there. But he didn't really care about it. It's all about getting paid and getting to the next level.
Well, he also thinks the world is flat. So
that is another
point, college
too.
Is a terrible deal when you look at it. You know Like, I mean, like, if they made it, you know what I'm saying, as much money, like, if you win, if your school wins their conference, you know, your school gets $1 million or, you know what I'm saying, somewhere around that, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that money was actually going to the players, maybe not all of it, but, you know what I'm saying, they weren't eating top ramen, though,
right.
You know?
No like, doubt. That's always a problem,
like,
too.
Like, stuff like that, issues like that make it to where college is already looked down upon because you know you're not going to be able to live. You know what I'm saying? How you may be accustomed to living. Because most of these kids are coming out of AAU with coaches who already have other kids who are in the league.
Right.
So they're already getting that kickdown money. So they're living well at 15, 16.
Yeah.
Marble cabinets, marble floors, you know what I'm saying? And then go to college. You want to go to college and live in a dorm room and have a roommate?
Right.
In a full-size half of the room you had before? Hell no.
Right. And that's the whole thing with amateurism. When we're talking big-time college basketball, big-time college football. These kids, many of them have, this is just, it's not so much something that's going to accelerate their career. It's an obstacle, especially, let's keep it with hoops. The whole one-year thing, I think it's a silly rule. If you're good enough to go play, it's a free market. You should be able to go play in the NBA. You know,
why does the NBA have like an age limit on it? All like I can understand 17, like 18 and over. Like I need an adult to be here, but
yeah, and I understand slightly more for the NFL that you need to be physically ready. But here's the thing: they're not going to put you out there if you're not. You know, so if you wanted to come out after high school,
if you were physically ready, they wouldn't.
They would. I mean, yeah. Leonard Fournette could have been starting as a running back in the NFL as a 17-year-old. He was.
I mean, that's
far-fetched,
though. He was like 250. He's an animal, but I'm saying I feel like he got hurt.
There's a lot more to it than just being a physical beast, especially when you're in the NFL. Mentality is a big thing in any...
But think about this. Think about this. Teams could, in theory, going into the NFL, I guess we're doing this conversation real quick. Teams, in theory, could draft an 18-year-old prospect
and
for their quarterback. And hang on to him and develop him.
Yeah.
And by the time he's 22, 23, he's not coming from a pistol system or a spread offense. He's been in a pro-style offense. In fact, he's been in your offense.
Yeah.
So he's been going through the reps in practice. He knows the system. It's not a huge transition for him to go under center like it is for so many of these quarterbacks that are coming out of college and having to play three to 4 years there. I mean, there is some benefit, but college sports is just, you know, it's all so, so shady. And again, we could do this for hours, so we won't, but I don't know. It's just shady.
Shady business.
You have some grinds. Let's talk about things we hate because we have to get out of here a couple minutes early to start the show early. So let's talk on this rainy day. We've had some fun today. Let's talk about things we hate.
I always have things that hate me, you guys. You know that. You've come to know me as the man that drinks a daily dose of Haterade. So again, things, as always, I got a few things that really just grinds my gears. The first one that really grinds my gears right now, packages that like chips, soy sauce, hot sauce packets that don't have an easy tear system on them, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like grinding your teeth, like thinking, what did you do in your life that makes you to not be able to open this packet right now? You know? Like it's so annoying, especially with like the soy sauce packets. I don't know what it is in particular with soy sauce packets that make them nearly impossible to rip open. And when you do, you get all of it over you, you know? It's like it's a vicious tear that you go through when you go through that. Like there's no easy tear. And it just splatters all over the place. It was annoying. Like, for as long as time, the Taco Bell packets used to annoy me because you could only tear them upside down. If you try to tear them right side up for some reason, I couldn't do it. It was impossible. I'm, like, questioning, like, my workout routine or lack thereof of one. Okay. Next thing that really still is grinding my gears right now. It is honestly the fact that the dab is still around. Like, I've made it known to me how much I've always thought the dab was annoying. And the reason why I say the dab is still around is because it's the only move a white person can do without looking completely incompetent of dancing, you know? Like, you can actually do it with any rhythm. Like, you do not need any rhythm to dab, you know? It's a foolproof plan, and it's a dance move that has been around. And the thing that annoys me is when people dab all the time, you know, it's like the left and right dab. It's like, I've come up with a name for that. I call it dabsturbation. And it's like, it needs to stop.
Dabsturbation.
Yes. You guys are going to start using it now. It's a pretty good one. I think so, too. Okay. And the last thing that really annoys me, that's all grinding my gears right now, is when you make a nickname and you take the person's initials and their number. It's so basic. Like, I've been seeing people calling Tom Brady TB12. And it's just like,
yeah, I don't like that.
No, come on.
Like, there's only been one really solid one. Andre Kirilenko, AK-47.
That was it. Perfecto.
Yeah.
I mean, it worked out. Everything in his favor, that's what you needed.
Yeah.
He knew.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think he picked 47 for a reason.
Yeah, he knew.
Yeah, he's like, I know what I got going for me.
Do the work for them.
Yeah, he was really out there.
He was a good player.
He was.
The weirdest hair ever.
Yeah, he had an odd hair.
He looked like the dude from the Rocky movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
The big Russian guy.
Ivan Drago.
Yeah, Drago.
If he dies, he dies.
Yeah, AK-47, that was fitting. You got any more?
That's it for right now. Yeah.
I want to talk about something I don't particularly love,
but
we all hate.
Yeah.
Bad drivers.
Oh, yes.
And today's episode, kids, we're just going to talk about parking. And the reason this is on my mind, last night I go to park just so I can move out of my driveway and allow Amy to get her car out. And so I parked for about 5 minutes, and I had to pull around someone. I parked there. There's a good 20 feet between me and the corner. Some guy parks right in front of me, the wrong side of the road, and boxes me in to the point where I had to do one of those to get out. You know,
no.
You pull forward, pull back, pull forward, pull back, pull forward, pull back, pull forward.
Like the 100-point turn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand it. He had, behind his car, he had a good 8-10 feet before the corner. And so, but he decided, not
for him. Those 8-10 feet were not meant for him.
Nah. Oh. Also had someone yesterday. First of all, when it rains here, people, the road conditions just driving down the streets are almost the same. It's just a little wet. Just be a little more cautious. I had someone, I was boxed in between someone going 15 miles an hour and someone going maybe 20 miles an hour, and I couldn't get around either one of them. And one finally started to fall back, and as I sped up, he pulled up to me and gave me the Mutombo, and I actually rolled down my window, and I think he thought I was going to yell something back, and all I told him was, I really like that Mutombo move, I'm going to steal that from you, so...
But yeah, no, on the real, definitely. Again, I'm from LA, so I have a different style of driving, or at least what I'm used to. Up here is, I'm not accustomed to the style of driving up here quite so much. But one thing I will say, people, that we really should take into account, we have a real easy privilege here of driving. Like, almost everyone is given a driver's license, whether you deserve it or not. And so many people out there do not deserve it. That's one thing that's always been a gripe against mine as well, is how free, willy-nilly, we're just like, yo, you get a license. You get a license. Oh, you don't have hands? You get licenses. It's okay, you know?
You get a fur.
Yeah. But there's a basic rule of thumb out there, guys. There is a driving lane and there's a passing lane, or the fast lane, slow lane. And if you guys are going the exact same speed, like if you guys are realizing there's someone behind you and, you know, you got to get past, go over to the next lane. Sit behind that person. Let someone pass, you know? Think of others.
So think of others. Be careful out on those slick roadways this week, guys. We will talk to you next week. That's going to do it for us. Myself, Jerome, Derek, Jordan. Thank you, fellas. It's been real. Stay tuned for the show. And then live from the big room.
Talking about practice.
Live from the big room. That's not there.
ALO. So stay tuned for that. The show starts now.
We out.
Bang.
Here it is.
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Hello to everyone listening on broadcast radio, on podcast, and of course, all of you listening on HD radio. Raise your hands right. Oh, thank you. I'm going to renew my offer. Anybody who actually writes in and says, I'm listening to this program on HD radio, is going to get a free gift from me of some value. Last time I made this offer, no response. But, you know, that was vacation. No, it wasn't. Ladies and gentlemen, the Internet of Things is a thing. An official watchdog in Germany, and their bite is worse than their bark, we've learned that, has told parents to destroy a talking doll called Kayla, not Layla, because its smart technology can reveal personal data. Who would have thought that an internet connect... The warning was issued by the federal network agency, the Bundesnetzagentur. It is the language of love, which oversees telecommunications. Researchers say hackers can use an insecure, unsecure Bluetooth device embedded in the toy. That's a good idea